and rolls. Thank you, Jay. Can I get a approval of the minutes from last month?
Make a motion to approve February 11th minutes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We got two quick resolutions. Is that okay, Jay?
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. 171, appointing members to the Ulster County Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
172, authorizing the county exec to execute a grant disbursement agreement with New York State Urban Development Corp.
I'll move it. I'll second.
Discussion?
I think Mr. Cornell made.
Sure, I'm happy to. I know that earlier today, the county executive spoke to the chairman of the legislature and to the minority leader that he's been working to try to resolve this issue and deal with it expeditiously and not put us in a situation where we're disbursing county funds waiting for state dollars to flow. So my understanding that if we can move this tonight and pass it tomorrow, he'll execute the resolution immediately, and then he has an agreement with the governor's office and ESD to expedite payment, you know, within the next 3 or 4 weeks and just get it all resolved and close out this project.
Okay.
Any questions?
Do you have the original amounts that the other towns that didn't participate in, what they're owed? No?
Carl got a pension.
Oh, your pension? Okay. All right, because I mean, you know, there's the total and everything, is it? But I know that Bob said that last week that, you know, there were towns that just said no, they weren't even going to participate.
This was resolved and it was outstanding issues.
Okay, we're discussing 172. Yes, Tracy?
So that the resolution that just passed, the previous committee moving the disbursement to all the towns?
It was.
We just passed a resolution.
Yeah, that's what.
To pay them. What's this?
That's what I'm trying to.
Theoretically, I don't want to put words in your mouth, sir. Theoretically, it is insofar as that if everything holds true, we should be able to get this money in, you're saying in the next 4 weeks, you know.
They should be able to repay themselves when they pay the towns.
Oh, because yours is, all right.
Ours is by June 1st, right?
Yes.
Ours is by June 1st, so if this comes in the next 2 months, April, May.
Well, it comes in and then the hours would be moved. If it doesn't come in, they're paid. We keep on working on getting the money.
So.
Is that all right? It said June.
So this is not, this is something that should have been done 4 years ago, and it wasn't done. So I'm happy to see that it's moving forward. We know what we owe the towns, the communities. They waited years, and when the county processes the information and get their money, it's a wash. No different than being funded by, from grants or non-for-profits or the federal or state government.
Carl?
One of the things about this resolution that I like is that it's going to pay back all the money from all the towns, even the ones that didn't participate. And I hear what you're saying about it should have been done 4 years ago or whatever, but I can't help but think that just the due diligence of this legislature and the fact that Bob Sudlow spoke to the legislature at a special informational meeting, that you know, all the parties came together and the county executive went above and beyond to get the money for the towns. And I think that it was a course that we took here, and it was kind of took a couple years, and it was a lot of questions. I don't even know if questions are, all the questions were even answered. But the fact of the matter is, if we get this money, I'd be the first one to say case closed, and let's move on.
Thanks, Carl. Any further comments?
And I'd just like to say, whatever towns were that didn't participate, in a few of them, I've asked them to show me the letters where they said they wouldn't participate, and they don't seem to have that letter. So maybe they never got notified in the first place.
I'm just curious. So this, how was the $389,863 arrived at? Is that, that's the towns that are on the other resolution plus the additional towns?
Yeah, Tracy, I'm sorry, I don't know. I'm just pinching it.
Okay.
Yeah, Jay showed us me. What page is it on? It's in this
one. Are you,
Oh, I see.
Look, turn it around. You don't have to bend over and hurt your back.
Oh, I see it.
No, because that's only, that was only the ones that were on John's resolution.
Yeah. Oh, it's your other packet. I see it in this packet. Okay.
There it is.
The truth says that I threw an extra couple thousand, but that's what you should have said. Little tip.
Not
able to. All right, Mr. Chair.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. Motion passed. Everybody. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate you coming in.
All right.
Okay.
Can I ask Bobby to come to the table, too?
All right. Dave, my pen.
I can't answer that. I'm just pinch hitting tonight. Is that the same as taking the fifth?
Ooh, be nice.
I can't answer that. I'm just pinch hitting tonight.
He said that three times.
It's Ben.
Oh, I did. I don't know how I got
did
your
he strike
pen.
Out or?
No, I'm going to give him
a less is more.
Less is more.
Less is more.
We're going to move on to new business. We have Legislator Bartels here with a associate from Albany, Bobby Chase Wilding. She is from Clean and Healthy New York. A couple of weeks ago at the Health Committee, Public Health, Legislator Bartels brought this resolution to our committee. I want to thank you, Tracy, for bringing this forward and doing your due diligence and taking the time with this resolution, not trying to rush it, you know, and trying to get it right. We may not agree with it, but you are doing your job, and I appreciate that. But anyway, I asked Tracy, we decided that Tracy was going to come back, do some more work on this, the resolution, and it also, at the end of the day, it has to get passed by our committee. So I was hoping that she came, and she did, and instead of wasting a lot of our time and having to pick it apart next month, we could start this month with our concerns.
So we can start picking it apart this month.
Yes.
Very good.
Tracy?
Okay, so thank you. And thank you for having me. I was really glad when Kevin called and said that he still wanted me to come to the committee and to kind of get ahead of the curve. And I think it's important to hear from everybody in advance as much as possible. At the Health Committee meeting, we did a presentation with the XRF, and I expect in the next phase when we have something working that the committees can agree on, we'll do that one more time because it is really impressive. And I have to say that for those who weren't at the last presentation, you know, I first heard about this with the Albany law, which was some time ago, and started to look into it, and I was shocked, like I think many of the members of the Health Committee were, that that somehow this is still allowed to happen. I mean, we tested products, which Bobby brought last time, that had 10 times the legal limit of lead, and they're sold in reputable stores. I also gave Clean and Healthy New York products, things that were in my house that were just a part of my daughter's life, and from one barrette to the next, you can't be an educated consumer. One barrette was lead laden, one was fine. How is a consumer to know? So the question is, how do we write legislation that we can be comfortable with and that can advocate for safe toys for our children, and not just toys, clothes, shockingly enough, and items for anyone. In fact, last, not to digress too much, but 2 weeks ago when I showed up, totally unbeknownst to me, and you'll see it in the product guide, my daughter's pajamas, not her personal pajamas, but her pajamas were there on the table, and I had to get rid of them And it was not fun, and it's you know, it's upsetting. So, to give a little backstory as well, the health committee, I'd say, and Kevin, stop me if I'm wrong, Carl, you're both there. The health committee primarily wanted Mary and I, and Mary apologized for not being here. She's sick today. To go back and in the section where we, like a lot of other laws that we passed, we left the promulgation of rules and regulations to the health department. The health committee wanted us to, with some specificity, come up with rules and regulations instead of having the health department do that. So that's something that Mary and I are starting to undertake and talk about. Mary and I had a meeting with the Commissioner of Health and members of the health department. We talked about the law and the health department's concerns. I also today met with B on the subject, and I'm going to work with Clint and of B's department and the health commissioner on trying to get through promulgating some rules that will address the health committee and this committee's concerns, but also be workable for the health committee. They are, you know, the health committee is very versed with dealing with regulation, but this is something new to them. So I think I'd like to, if I can, open it to questions, Kevin, and then you can go from there.
Rich? You had your hand up, didn't you?
I did, but I didn't know. Quick question. Would we know, maybe not a complete list, but how many toys are affected? You know, or products affected, and is it 5% of them, 20% of them? Certain stores would have a higher amount, just out of curiosity.
So I haven't found any store that doesn't, where we haven't found a problem, right? While we don't, I mean, it's difficult to say because we've been going shopping in communities for more than a year now, and so we've sort of got a tuned eye to what might be likely. But when you're, it's certainly not anything close to 100% of the products are problematic. And it's, you know, I think you could say that the majority aren't going to come up with a problem. But below that, I'm not exactly sure.
Okay. That's fine.
But it's definitely something where, and I apologize for coughing, you know, where you really can't tell looking at the product. I mean, and it has varied. So I don't, like, we've tested cars, Hot Wheel cars, and sometimes we find a whole, like, in one pack we find two or three that have heavy metals in them. Sometimes we find none, but then a different brand has heavy metals.
Wow.
So it's, unfortunately, right now, the market is pretty inconsistent.
Okay.
But also Bobby has said to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that you've been doing this for a long time, and you've seen improvement over time in general. That there were years ago where you'd find jewelry that could be 90% lead, not 4,000 parts per million,
right,
which is alarming because that's 10 times the legal limit. And you know, something it seems like a one-off, but I really feel it's not, because it came to my attention the night of the health committee meeting, that because someone said to me in the course of this, you know, why would a county do this? Like, why would we piecemeal this? And the first answer is because we have to protect our children. But then the other lesson that I learned at that health committee meeting is that the Sullivan County, Suffolk County passed a BPA ban, the first in the nation, on sippy cups and bottles years ago. Subsequent to that, several municipalities followed suit. And subsequent to that, the industry itself transformed due to pressure of parents who were learning. And as a result, the industry said to the federal government, please ban this because we don't want confusion about whether or not we have it in our product. So much so that by the time I had a child, it was a non-starter. There's no BPA. And so how did that begin? With one county. You know, that's what's exciting to me about this. So I really, I welcome the opportunity for discussion. I really want to find a way to make this work for everyone. I mean, Kevin and I had extended conversations about it as well. I don't think vendors want to sell these toxic toys. It's about a supply chain.
Hector and Dave.
Thank you. So, I mean, you clearly know I want to support this as much as I can. But my question is, though, other counties, I thought, have actually brought this forward, and I thought they may actually be in lawsuits over it. I mean, have any of them sort of already gone through the process, meaning that either been deemed legal or they had to redraft it or anything like that? And if so, you know, are we going to be in a position to actually get a version of this law that will basically be able to sustain a lawsuit?
So it's Albany County that was sued, and I'm actually going and meeting with...
I thought it was Rockland for some reason.
Rockland, like, when... I've never met with the folks in Rockland. They sort of followed suit after Albany, Westchester, and South Gulf took action.
Okay.
And then they amended their law without there being a lawsuit. So Albany County is the one where there was a lawsuit that was filed, and the stay on that lawsuit was until March 1st. I've actually got meetings with the Albany County Health Department tomorrow, and the county executive on Thursday. So this week I should hear more from them about exactly how it shook out. But what they did was they went back and they revised their law to clearly say that where, because right now what you have is sort of this really squiggly set of regulations at the federal level that don't protect against, don't cover all children's products. So toys get covered, certain metals are covered more than others. I mean, so it's sort of like, it's a little messy. But what Albany did was they went back and said, you know, where federal law, you know, explicitly preempts, you know, county action, we won't act, but we will act in the other areas. And that language is in the bill here.
Our draft, and I rest assured I'm going to be working with our county legal on it as well, but our draft reflects the changes that Albany made to address the lawsuit, which is to simplify, it's the preemption clause, which was not in their first draft, it is in this draft. And the Albany County law did not set standards for each of the metals, each of the offending items. It left it to the health department, so it was read as if there were no standards at all, that anything...
If it contained even a drop of...
Which wasn't actually...
It wasn't actually what it said, but...
But was that...
Beyond that, our law has standards. So, and the follow-on legislation, the ones that Bobby mentioned, there's no legal action. So, I think it's, at this point, safe to assume that we can draft something that can withstand legal action and ideally not even get legal action because the follow-on legislation didn't suffer from any legal challenge.
Okay. Dave, before you go, I'm going to have Nick follow up on that. Do you have anything to add?
Only insofar as I think that's been accurately stated about the litigation that was commenced last year in Albany. The county attorney voluntarily entered into a stay. Recently, I think as this past December, they enacted an amended local law. The proposed Ulster law does closely track that Albany law by instituting the limits of part per million, which were absent from the initial law. So the Toy Industry Association and the County of Albany do have that voluntary stay that expired March 1st. And I think the key point, which was mentioned earlier, is the promulgation of the regulations. That's what has yet to be filed in Albany. And I think that's what the barometer will be, is do those regulations result in a settlement with the toy industry where their lawsuit's withdrawn?
Or the lawsuit's dismissed.
Or it's dismissed by the judge, one or the other. And that hasn't happened yet. So I understand that's what's in the process of happening. And this was apparently raised in council meeting with the county attorney, who's obviously well aware of it. Mm-hmm. And I think essentially wants to follow Albany's lead. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think we want to get out ahead of Albany. If I don't know if I'm misstating her position or not, but
in my meeting with her today, she, like I said, she brought in deputy attorney Clint, the deputy attorney who works, I guess, regularly with the health department, and she's put me in direct contact with him so that as Mary and I are working on promulgating the rules as the health committee asked us to do, that we're not doing it in a vacuum, that we're coming up with rules that both can, that are workable for the health department and that could withstand a legal challenge. And so I'm not going to be pushing a law forward, so I'm confident about both those. I mean, B's okay and the health department's okay.
Dave, you have to
know. Yeah, the only question I just wanted to ask in reference to, because it talks about many things that are sold for and meant for children.
You can still buy a purse, an adult's purse, Dave.
Like him, can I buy a purse?
No, you'll be all right. You're
Well, I don't chew on it. The only thing is, what I'm curious about, like, for instance, yesterday we had the St. Patrick's Day Parade in the city of Kingston. There had to be 50,000 people there at least. And, you know, as I walk down the street, you see a lot of kids with the,
the
green beads in their mouth and holding on to them. And, and I'm curious as to what tests that they have gone through, those types of beads, because...
And those are technically for adult products. Those are quote unquote intended for
meant for adults, but they everybody puts them on their kids, and the kids put them in their mouths,
and hopefully there's no lead in there.
Right. So when we've done testing of those beads, we haven't found heavy metals. There are sometimes where the plastic has been recycled and it's got flame retardant chemicals in it, which is not great, but it would. I haven't tested any of those plastic beads that would violate the. Proposed legislation here, which
it's good to know.
It's good. I mean, and some of them
because
do.
After reading, the thinking about this law, when I was walking down there and I was waiting for these kids to start glowing, and I was like,
they were ripping them off of the kids' necks.
You know, ripping them.
No, that's that. I mean, when you see the products,
that's for Chris to do.
Rip them off.
Pearl,
my father would never buy stuff like that for us at a parade. But one of the things I think that it's important is that. What the law is really trying to do is to prevent these types of toys, clothing, from being sold in the county. But we're putting the onus on the retailer. I mean, I'm a retailer, and I've been, working with XYZ company in China or this place in Malaysia or whatever. So now, and they may not even know what they're selling me. So the chain of how, are we going to expect the retailer to give a list of all the banned stuff in the county to his supplier and be assured that he won't get that kind of stuff?
Oh, the banned item.
Because
you would have to ask them to do that. I mean, the challenge with the county level, with when it comes down to communities regulating, you can regulate only what's inside your borders.
No, right. Well, so but I mean, we want to ban these types of products, but we're counting on the retailer to do it for us.
And that's what happened with the BPA.
Yeah, I was just going to say, look at what.
No, I understand that.
And I think it is something where, this is one piece of the conversation that's happening about supply chains, right? This is one piece pushing back up that supply chain.
So what I'm leading to then is like for the penalties. I don't think we should penalize. A retailer, unless they repeatedly sell the same product as this packaged the same way with the same ingredients in it.
Well, it does say
it's
knowingly.
It's going to be a shell game.
It does say knowingly distribute. So, in other words, if they knowingly.
I understand that. But when we go.
If we go in and we say, hey, you're not fitting the bill here, then they go, okay, we're going to have to take it off our.
If they continue
to sell it, then they're knowingly doing it.
Right. But what I'm saying is, the purpose of the law is to get these off the shelves. You go in there, you do your test of 10 items, and you say, I'm sorry, but four of your items aren't here. You record that it's XYZ from China or this and that. We'll be back in another 6 months. If we find these again, then you'll be fine. And then he'll have a new set of toys that are going to have the same crap in them. He didn't know that he had
them. I mean, but, Carl, in order to address that, and again, I don't know if this will satisfy folks or not, but, I mean, we went through this with the microbeads. if you want, you can do something like, in the penalties, you can go up to, the language could be initial civil penalty of up to $500. Therefore, you can then have some level of discretion, even with the initial sort of, fines. But you then probably want to leave in, though, the subsequent violations component, because that's how you sort of guarantee going forward compliance with the law. But at least you could, minimize some of the hit in the initial,
Well, and I think this is very helpful. I mean, this is exactly what I need in terms of going back to the health department and working with Mary. I think, Carl, it's a good point. And I think as we're working on our rules, I imagine that the first thing is a warning. You know, that's not the first thing, right, isn't a fine. At first there's a warning, and then, you know, we did a similar with the language on the polystyrene foam. You know, that you go through a process.
Well, you can't give them a fine if they don't know. I mean, the point is, you know, that even the law says that. If I don't know, if I'm selling these items and I don't know that there's a problem with them, until you tell me there's a problem with them, and once I know that there's a problem with them, if I continue to sell them, then that's your first offense. It's not when you just started selling them.
I don't think it's meant to be interpreted, and we have to work that out, because in that way, a retailer could, in each instance,
plead ignorance, because
they would have to test every item.
What do you think they're not going to? Who's going to, oh yeah, I knew I was selling his bad stuff, I loved it.
Well, one way to handle that, Dave, is you basically, you're asking retailers to ask their vendors to verify that their products are without or within these limits.
Yeah, but that doesn't tell us that.
Well, we can put that in there. You know what I mean? But that's the concept. And I think, as a companion to that, we should also be urging for comprehensive state legislation. But we have seen with BPA as the example where success can begin from the little county that could. You know, where change. You know, it's the same thing. Look at California. Well, it's a slightly off subject, but California enacted whatever that legislation was about carcinogens in products, and as a result. Anytime you buy something on Amazon that has a carcinogen in it, it's labeled, and I notice less and less of those announcements because suppliers want to have that. They don't want their products to have that.
You also
had
54 million people there. You know?
Right.
I'm
going to
go with Rich, and then
thanks. No, just talking like what Dave and Carl said about the enforcement. You had mentioned like the big wheels. You might get some big wheels.
Hot Wheels.
Mm-hmm. That have it. Other ones are good. That's where a retailer could just get in a pickle because one shipment may be good, the next shipment would be bad, and they're not. You know, those. I'm sure a lot of them are cut and dry, but something like that is like, that's kind of weird.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So what will be helpful to counties is that Vermont passed legislation requiring companies to disclose if they're using any of 66 chemicals, including the heavy metals that are in this legislation, in children's products. And whereas Washington State passed that law in 2008, and they just required basically what they called brick-level reporting, which is like, there's antimony in dolls we sell, but it doesn't tell you which doll. Vermont's requiring disclosure down to the UPC level. So it's actually something where a retailer can go and get information about what may be violating the law. And so that's something that could be a useful tool in terms of knowingly, right? You know, you can verify against that list the manufacturers are self-disclosing. And also the fact that they have to disclose at that level means they have to know. Mm-hmm. So it changes the level of manufacturer knowledge. But what Vermont doesn't do is say you can't put it on the shelf. So they require you to disclose it, but it could still be sold. So here, Ulster could take that information and act on it. And so there may be a way to, refer to.
Do we need to add that to this resolution? Or should that be a totally separate resolution?
You mean, I think it would be something that would be in the implementation of this resolution.
I mean, actually, when you find a product that, the county health department will inform the manufacturer that it can't be sold in this county?
I was thinking of it as the other way around, that the retailer would be able, you would, the county and the retailers would be able to look and see whether or not the products they're bringing in are showing up on this list in Vermont.
Just as a resource for the retailer.
But, and also for compliance. If you go in and look there, then you could that could be your starting list for the products that you would go and evaluate in Ulster County. Right.
Oh, and that's also the as you read the draft of the law, which again, it's a work in progress, which this, like we said to the health committee, in the enforcement section, we use suffix model. So it calls for quarterly random testing of 10 retailers and 10 products. We're going to considerably dial that back. We're working with the health department.
Lower it, you mean?
Lower it, yeah. To make it reasonable, we don't want to overwhelm the department. And that's in flux. But I'll come back to the committee with that number. But we're much smaller county than Suffolk. That's a lot of testing.
I'd like to bring up a couple of points that I overheard. One, Carl mentioned a ban list. I do not see anywhere on here a ban list.
A ban list?
You said, I don't know if you said it generic. If you make, if you find lead in a Hot Wheel, you're not going to sell Hot Wheels anymore. You know, like, to me, maybe, and the problem is with the any ban list that you have that vendors or retailers can't sell. You said it's sporadic. You may find one Hot Wheel with it. Mm-hmm. And the vendors are usually the middleman, distributors, mm-hmm. am I correct? And they have no way of knowing either, since many of these products do not have a material list, what's in it. Maybe, I don't even know if you want to go that far and say that the products materials should be listed on the products. That's a little too much.
It would be ideal, but it's aggressive, but it would be ideal.
Yeah, and I, Tracy, I went over this last time. I thought, you know, most of these seem to be problematic from foreign countries, mm-hmm. mostly Asian, maybe Central and South American. If you have a sign, maybe make a law to have a sign in every toy department saying products from the following countries may contain lead, calcium, or whatever the four products that you had, cobalt.
Seven, yep.
And I think that would be much more effective than a random testing 10 times.
But you know, Kevin, how...
10 stores.
I'll tell you, in lieu of a law, the concept of just putting up a sign saying products may contain lead, how does that help me as a consumer? And how first, how does it help me as a consumer? Because I can't be informed. I just have to buy no products, period, no toys, because I can't, and no clothes, because I can't tell what has lead or these antimony or cadmium. I can't tell the difference.
Are you going to be able to tell once this law takes effect?
No, what's going to happen once this law takes effect, just like with BPA, is it's going to start to affect change. It starts small, but already it's affecting change. What's happened is, why would, you know, it's not a tiny mom and pop that sued Albany. You know, these are giant lobbying interests. They're the, you know, giant public interest, giant chemical companies, and what they say. I mean, I've been going online and reading their blogs, and they're concerned about these laws happening because it's going to require change. It's going to require, and that's what's going to happen. So a sign saying, I think it's a good idea to educate the public, but all it's going to do is strike fear. It's not going to, how do I solve my problem of two different Bretts, both licensed by Disney, one that I'm putting lead on my kid's head and one I'm not? I just have to buy no Bretts at all. And when you extend that to no toys at all, no clothes at all, I mean,
how do you test that?
I know it's so wacky, but this is the United States of America, and this is 2016.
How do you test it, though? How is these things tested? I mean, how expensive is the little testers? How do you do that?
So Bobby can talk about, and this is something we're going to work through with the promulgation of rules and regulations, but the first pass testing, Bobby had the XRF machine here last time, which I don't even know how you describe it. It looks like a ray gun, right? You
just radar. It's this right here.
Price check device. Yeah, that's a picture.
You put it at the item. You hold it for a certain number of seconds, and it gives you a readout.
Can you do it in a plastic if it's got, like, plastic?
You have to
package?
Remove it outside of the
you
packaging.
You do, okay.
Yeah, it only tests the surface.
Okay.
So you can't test through packaging. Yeah. Cool.
What do these little testers cost?
They vary from somewhere like $30,000 to up to $80,000, depending on the model that you get. However, a number of companies rent the devices and provide training. And so it could be something where the idea would be to have it be just once a year that there was the health department needed to rent a device so that you would cut down on the cost.
Okay. Is that training free, and is it done locally?
In my experience, they will come and basically bring you the device and train you to use it.
Well, it's probably done a big training thing there.
And there's also, if you're...
Point it just
point
right.
And shoot.
Well, it's about radiation safety, right? You want the workers to be...
an x-ray machine. Yeah.
Right, I mean, and used properly, there are, it's a very minimal x-ray exposure, like, out, you know what I mean? Like,
our workers use, we have a similar machine, but ours only tests for lead
vests.
And our workers use it for lead tests in the home.
You have a lead beam, right?
Yeah, but there, so this is far safer, but the company that makes the best x-ray fluorescence analyzer in the world right now is actually this company, Greenbush. XLS makes the high definition device that's been shown to be comparable to laboratory testing. So it would not be difficult to get someone trained to be able to use a device like that. The one that we have right now is an older model. And what oftentimes, I don't know how the law is going to shake out in terms of the X-ray, the high definition XRF, but it's a matter of somewhere between $50 and $100 to do a confirmation test. If you find a violation, so you can send it to a lab. It's not a ton of money. And if you're finding the retailers who are violating, then that would could cover the cost of the test. But even still, you know, overall, $100 to verify something that you already know has a problem. You just want to have the laboratory test because that's what's used in a court of law. It's not a gigantic cost, and you know, I don't think that you're going to find, you know, if you tested 40 items, I think you're going to find at most 10 that are going to be violations of the law. I think it's going to improve over time. Right?
And it's basically in metals you're testing. You're not testing like plastics.
You can test the plastics as well. Yeah. And we do find some heavy metals in plastic as stabilizers or as contaminants.
What did my watch have? You tested my watch band.
Did you say
formaldehyde?
I didn't find anything in your watch
band. Oh,
yeah, I thought
you said.
It had a tiny, tiny, tiny one part per million.
Like, right. It was all
formaldehyde.
Arsenic.
You started to, embalm you a little bit.
It was helping Harry.
It was arsenic.
Next time.
Somebody told me you were dead.
Any further?
That's what they're bombing.
No, it's interesting.
I think, I'd like to ask if the committee members, as you go on, as you look back at it or reflect on today, if you have questions, concerns, ideas, both Mary and I welcome them. We'd like to make this work.
Tracy, I'd like to invite you to work with our council.
I was just going to ask that too. That would be great.
With what? His town?
Council.
Oh, council.
Yeah, I would love your involvement. Thank you.
Sure.
I just wanted one more thing. Something about the parade yesterday. There was a retailer that was handing out these air-filled plastic wands. They were all over the place. They were actually throwing them out of the city of Kingston's bus in front of us.
They were
so would that
H&R
be,
Block, weren't they?
I don't care. I'm not saying who
it
was.
Oh, all right. Well,
all I'm saying is...
wondering which ones they
so,
were.
So under the law, there's a provision that, you know, it doesn't apply to free toys being given out, but... What if they have lead in them? You know, I mean, something like that. This was like the Pied Piper. They were all over the place.
They were balloons.
The kids were
so that would go
them.
Over like a lead balloon, right?
They weren't. They were more than balloons. They were plastic. They were. They were a rigid, thick plastic balloon.
So I, yeah, they went over.
Carl
like
took
a lead
them home.
Balloon.
He sold them on eBay.
No, I'm just saying. You know that. But that's something you might want to tweak. Is
well,
you know, because
it says knowingly distribute.
Yeah.
So I think that the question, I mean, depending on where you want to land with that,
mm-hmm.
you could decide that you would define your retailer in a particular way. And I don't know what current law says in terms of how you define a retailer, but
that was marketing.
Would strike me that
that's a marketing thing, right?
You could decide whether a temporary vendor qualified as a retailer or not for the purposes of the law.
Getting our health department to work on Sundays.
Yeah, and that's something else too. Is like, I and Mary and I both really would like to have broad support for this. So, obviously, we're proponents of. I mean, we'd go as far and as aggressive as the legislature was willing to go. But we're trying to reach a balance that works for the health department that can reach bipartisan support. So, we welcome all of your feedback. And if the legislature wants to include something like that. I just can't imagine. My instinct is that we probably want to be pretty definite in the definition, and but I'm open to it if there's broad support for it. You know?
Yeah.
Kevin, did you have other concerns? You said there were things you were thinking about, other things.
Well, I'd like to bring up one of the things to share with the committee that we brought up in the health committee was that the health department was in total charge of violations, having the hearing, and it doesn't say anything about appeal process. So it would, here's my scenario, that a health department employee would give out the ticket, then his boss, the commissioner, would have to go against his employee and say, no, you were wrong here, I'm not going to fine this company. So I think it should be maybe a separate entity that's being the setting out the fines or finding guilt or innocence.
Mm-hmm. Mary and I took your comments seriously last time, and so even in the conversation I had today with B and Clint, we talked about promulgating, because we know that you want to see it here, not leave it to the health department to promulgate those rules. So we talked about promulgating rules that included an independent hearing officer. And that'll be in the next draft for sure.
Appreciate that. John, anything to add?
Nope.
How are you feeling?
I feel wonderful.
All right, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Any
other new old business?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Have a good night, all.
Thank you.
All those in favor? All right.